This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Money Maker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome back to TVI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean here, mate.
Welcome back. I'm good. I hope our listeners are good too. This is actually an episode we weren't going to put out until next week, but we thought it's New Year's Day, mate. Let's release two.
Yeah? Double drop Friday,
mate. For the people that are literally on the sofa hanging.
Coming down off their molly in their kitchen.
Exactly. Before. But no, I reckon there's going to be shitloads of Zoom New Year's Eve parties where loads of mates are hanging out. They'll go on till all hours, mate.
All cocaine over their keyboard.
Just carnage, mate.
It's good, isn't it? If someone's having one of them cocaine chats to you, you know when someone's on coke and they're talking, I don't want to be a part of their cringe the next
mute
day.
Them, mate. You can just mute them.
My Wi-Fi's going. I'd love to hear about your childhood and your... What an amazing person your dad was.
Who is it? Somebody had a great routine about that thing of just blokes on, like, I think it was like on stag dudes or something, just getting on it, like coked up. Suddenly you're just with a bloke you've never met before and you're planning on starting a business with him. It's like, it's well
yeah, funny. I remember that bit. That's so true.
Oh, man.
I had many a night.
I've been on stag dudes where...
That's why I started Amazon with Bezos.
But yeah, that thing
I don't know what happened to him
when you think you've made a real good mate on a night when you've just been on it, and the next day you wake up and you actually just feel it, you feel embarrassed, innit? Because you know you're not going to be
especially if they're like in an office that you work in.
Oh man,
because you're going to see them again and agree to, we're not, you know, all of that was, can we leave that alone now? Can we draw a line under that night?
I once, in the early days of my comedy career, I won't say the name of the person, I'll tell you off air, but
patreon.com/TVI.
I will say it on Patreon, actually, yes. Oh, good. I'll do it in that, we're going to do a catch up in a minute. I'll tell you the story, but basically, I was doing a weekend of gigs. I won't say the club. I don't want to incriminate anyone. But lovely weekend comedy club. Me and another comedian we'd never met. And we ended up doing loads of MDMA together, just in my hotel room. And just had this night. We were literally lying on the bed, basically hugging each other, listening to like dubstep. And it was just, felt like we'd had this incredible bonding experience. And it was like, we're going to be friends for life. And then we've literally see each other about once a year at a gig and go, all right, mate. But it felt so profound at the time. But
was it Chris D'Elia?
It was not Chris D'Elia. I'm not going to say who it was. I'm not going to give any clues.
Jimmy Savile.
Do you know, it actually is, it happened with one other comedian, but there's somebody I sort of know a bit better, but we're still not close mates or anything.
No eye contact ever again.
Yeah, obviously not. But so that is, I don't know how we got onto them gross nights out when you're just on horrible drugs. And yeah, I'm glad they're all behind
me
those days.
It's kind of nice that everyone's got to stay in for New Year's Eve. You can have a better New Year's Day.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will probably, I've woken
watch
up
watch Wizard of Oz sober, you know what I mean?
I've woken up so, like, not with a hangover on New Year's Day a couple of times in the last decade, and it's great. You feel so much better for it. But anyway, that's what we thought. If you are feeling a bit tender, though, we'll give you an extra episode today. It's Carly Smallman. This is such a funny episode because Carly's...
We had our tarot cards read,
Carly's very funny. She's also... We've both known her for years. She's good, really good chat. But also, basically, she she does a show on Facebook, her Facebook page, which is, she does tarot readings of on comedians, and it's very funny. And she did it. She gave us both a reading halfway through. You'll enjoy it a lot. So basically, kick back. Thanks to all our patrons for being patrons. You can sign up patreon.com/wearetvi. Any other admin?
That's about it, really.
That's about it, isn't it?
I think it's all covered.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Enjoy this episode.
Happy New Year 2021, people.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, just changing the podcast.
I think you know. Right. I die of AIDS in an alleyway. I'm all right, bro.
We're rolling.
We're rolling. Like Limp Bizkit. Welcome back, everyone, to TVI Podcast. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean here.
And guest, Carly Smallman, comedian.
That's me, I'm here.
Owner of two guitars, if her background
it's
is to be believed.
Definitely two guitars.
Actually, guys, I actually spent some of my Rishi money on another guitar, on a further guitar.
Is that a Fender Telecaster? Yeah.
It is. I felt like the government were giving me money to stay at home, so I needed to find something to do at home.
Yeah. And you thought you'd buy...
The money had to be for business stuff. Oh, no, that was the bounce back loan, wasn't it?
No, this is just for anything, in my opinion. I think it's meant to be for my mortgage and bills, but
yeah,
whatever.
I got a bounce back loan, and I can confirm it wasn't used for business.
Starting up a Coke business.
Yeah, what's
I got a giant bounce back loan and gave it back.
I remember you. I mean, we never actually fully talked about it on here because you had crossed into... Well, you'd cross the borders of illegality.
I crossed over the borders of... I spoke to a couple of barristers.
Fraud, it was fraud.
Yeah. Technically, the barrister said, technically, it's called criminal fraud and you go to jail.
It wasn't... It was basically...
It wasn't consciously.
Slightly over asked for how much...
I didn't think I'd get it, and I pushed enter and it said the money will be in your bank within 24 hours. And this, I mean, this was
exciting.
You know, you could have bought a flat for this amount of money 10 years ago. It was a huge amount.
Wow.
And I started to look at Audis and Mercs, and then I gave it back.
Yeah, I spoke to Julian the day he got the money, and you had the look of a man who was on the run from the police.
You just knew you were going to be doing some badness with it. I
spoke to a couple of people and asked them if I could keep it in their bank for a little while just to see what happens. And they were like, nah, because they'll have to pay tax on it.
There was at one point we discussed
it was an accident, just for the record. Yeah, it was
and you gave it back, so it's all...
I gave it back.
It's all legit.
Yeah,
I lent it to Carl. He said that's the best thing to do.
and as I told you before we hit record, treated myself to a nice suit during lockdown.
The grey 35 grand suit at Christie's. It was worn in the original Bugsy Malone.
Anyway, let's not get bogged down in this. Let's talk. So hang on. So are you a keen guitarist?
Not really keen.
Just three guitars.
Maybe I just like to feel like I just have three guitars. I wouldn't say I'm keen. Like, I just like stuff.
Yeah.
So I've got like my main guitar, which is like my one that I got when I was younger, that, you know, everyone buys an acoustic guitar uni when they're trying to make people fancy them. And it doesn't work the other way around. Like, I realized that loads of guys were like ugly men were getting laid through guitar playing.
You. Don't bring me into
it. You're welcome, Julian. But yeah, it doesn't work the other way around. If you're a woman who plays guitar, everyone's like, oh, that's nice. She plays guitar. I won't fuck her.
Yeah.
So, and it's just, I'm going to like playing the guitar. I'm not like amazing at it. It's all right.
You're a good singer and stuff though, aren't you?
Thanks, Julian. That means a lot coming from you, babe.
No, you told me that. I've not heard you.
Oh, right. It's true. No, I go around the
circuit
though, aren't you? Not singing.
Why does it mean
I'm
a lot?
All right,
Why does that mean a lot coming from Julian? He's not Simon Cowell.
I just haven't seen anyone.
I've got a t-shirt on.
I don't see other people.
I suppose.
And you're very smart as well, aren't you? Like, academically.
Like,
I bet you got A's in your GCSEs, didn't you?
Yeah, A's and A stars and in my A-levels.
Degree? Yeah. Did you guys get a degree?
Yeah, I got... Why are you asking me this? I didn't realise that was at the podcast.
This is a job interview.
<I'm weird. laughs> Yeah, I was
going to say. We're looking for someone to do our admin. And are you a team player?
We need to be put this, we've got quite a large chunk of bounce back loan money. We need to employ someone
to filter back into the system.
I imagine it's going to be like Brewster's Millions, where I've just got to spend it as quick as I can by a certain day. I reckon I'd be good at that. Yeah,
I don't know if you've ever have you had proper jobs
before? Yeah, sadly, yes.
Weren't you a teacher?
I was a teacher. I worked in advertising. I worked in a Toby Carvery.
That third one is that's an odd one of the three.
I worked
in a media company, and I was in the accounts department. And we used to do that thing where at the end of each year, there'd always be like every department would have a surplus of budget in certain things, and it was our job to basically spend it. Because if it didn't get spent, then head office would take that out of next year's budget. So we
just
wouldn't
come back to the office drunk. Yeah. Job done, boss.
Yeah, every, what did you buy?
Mate, every December. Every December. Now, we used to often treat ourselves to a lot of office.
Actually bought prostitutes.
Equipment.
Yeah, so bought them as humans, human trafficking.
But every December. Like, and obviously, we had to do it, but we couldn't let the other departments know what we were doing because we were doing it. It was legal, but we shouldn't really been doing it. And what we should have theoretically.
It's unethical, man.
Yeah, it's unethical. We should have told the departments like 3 months before, look, you're going to come in under budget. If you want to spend that money, spend it now. But instead, we'd just let it work. We'd work ourselves up into like December and go, right, we've got like thousands that we need to get rid of. So what we'd do is we'd always just pimp out our office every December. We'd get new chairs. We'd get new everything.
Oh, nice.
So we'd have all big swanky like swivel chairs.
So
What was it, a
limited company or like a PLC? Was it?
It was a big mate. It was a big corporation. Yeah, their head office was in Milan, and we were the London office.
So I wonder who. Yeah,
well, it's fine now. The London office is actually shut now, so I this isn't going to come back to haunt anyone.
It probably looked great when it closed.
I think that's what the government do with like when they spend money on like roadworks and stuff. Like they have to hit a budget or they get less the next year.
Of course.
So they stick a few traffic cones on the motorway.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it. It's always in like March and April time as well. And you could just never get anywhere.
Yeah.
Got to spend that money or you don't get it. But it was like, we had some years, it was like Brewster's Millions where we just had so much money to spend. Like we'd literally be going out for just like 3-course meals every lunchtime, just the five of us, and just treating ourselves every day, coming back to the office pissed, like Julian even mentioned, like, and we were just doing it, and everyone thought, fucking hell, they're having a fun month, and it was like we're trying
just
to
just the accounts department,
this is hard budget work, going, guys.
Yeah, we're doing this for you next year. But it was lovely. It was a fun job. That it was, like, you know, it wasn't. I didn't love the work, but it was. I worked in a nice environment with cool people, so it was, you know, I don't have one of them. It wasn't one of them jobs where you just dread going in. I just dreaded the work portion.
Yeah, I dreaded the Toby Carvery every time I went in there.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
It was a real low. And I know some people go absolutely mental, like they love Toby Carvery. Honestly, on a Sunday, there were queues coming out of the Carvery. And I would just be in there, like literally dripping in sweat because you're working around like hot meat all day long. And not even the good kind.
How would you describe a Toby Carvery to a non-Brit? Because I think that's such an English
thing. It's like a big buffet, isn't it?
It's
like a roast dinner buffet, yes.
Yeah, but you're only allowed a certain amount of meat. The rules of the Carvery are that you can't.
You can keep going back up for vegetables.
For vegetables, but you can like once you've got your meat,
who's monitoring this? Is there a monitor?
Well, it was meant to be me, but I didn't give a shit because it was a horrendous job. But also, I think we're all meant to monitor the meat thing. It was just an awful job. You smelled like gravy from like the smell of gravy in your hair was just so entrenched.
Quite like that.
Yeah. Well.
I sprayed it on everything.
I used to go into the kitchen and cut off a slice of bread and go and dip it into a gigantic pot like that of gravy. Yes. I did used to do that because I'm a dirty bitch. But it was like that wasn't a thing. That wasn't what everyone was doing. I just you had to have a perk of the job.
Yeah.
What Shane from Boyzone ate.
Shane from Boyzone.
He came
Shane?
To the Carvery.
Shane was the tall one, wasn't he?
Shane was the tall, tattooed one.
Yes, and he was married to that girl from Eternal. He came into the Carvery, and it was the best day of my life.
Which Louise Eternal? Redknapp?
No, not Louise Redknapp. One of the other ones from Eternal. Was it Esther? Or
what, the lead singer?
The lead singer. I think he was married to her.
She was
or one
fit.
Of the other ones.
I can't remember.
Yeah,
what
well
I
done
remember.
Him.
I always get them mixed up with the...
Lisa Left Eye. Oh, All Saints.
Yeah.
What were the other ones? Lisa Left Eye. Don't Go Change Chasing Waterfalls.
Yes. What did Eternal? What was Eternal's big hit?
Don't Let Go, because we're just a step. See, you all built up my singing then.
I take that back from earlier.
I'll touch it up in post.
I didn't know you could.
I'll run it over an auto tune.
That's obviously why I was really so blessed.
We'll put that through our system, don't worry.
DJ Bubbles and Slimy J will do a remix of it. But anyway, so it is. What day? It's the 29th of December. We should probably let our listeners know when this was recorded. What have you been doing with you? What did you do for Christmas?
Because I live on my own. I get to be bubbled. So I didn't have much of a different Christmas. I went to my parents like I do every year.
That's all right,
isn't it? So it's all right. I got to basically sort of swan in, eat all the food that had been prepared for me, drink all their booze, and swan out again. It was nice. It felt a bit normal. Obviously, we couldn't have everyone there that we wanted to.
Yeah.
But it was still really lovely. I'm a very festive person.
I'm very festive. I love
Are you?
I love Christmas. Like, I get excited about it about mid-November.
Same.
And just it builds. I absolutely love it. This year was I did feel this year was slightly different. You know, so we were meant to be going to see my parents. But you know, my parents
you're not allowed out. Just give it a weird there was a global pandemic and a killer virus.
We felt different.
All the corpses.
25 the corpse you had to tread over in the aisle in Tesco. Everyone masked up.
But
8 billion in lockdown.
But yeah, my parents went to my aunts, because they're a little bubble. My parents are old. Like, my dad's 82 and he's got lung problems and stuff. So when they put the new rules in, they got a bit like paranoid. And I won't lie, I'm not proud of it. I was going to break the rules. I just sort of went,
Do you know what? I think everyone's broken the rules at some point this year. It's fine.
I love
breaking rules, man.
I do.
Great.
But I've actually, you know, I've been relatively good. I've been wearing my mask and that biz. I'm not somebody who's like anti everything. But with this, I was like, no, you know, this is my parents. I don't reckon my parents have got many Christmases left in them. Do you know what I mean? I know everyone says that. You don't see
You want to get the presents while you can. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But
get that brute aftershave while you can.
You know, so it's every chance it could be my dad's last Christmas. His health isn't good, you know, and I know some people would say, well, you'd endanger it if you went. But, you know, he didn't really give a shit.
A lot of old people would sooner die of COVID than loneliness, wouldn't they?
But yeah,
most of my grandma's friends have been like that. They've just been absolutely just doing whatever
dead from
they
COVID.
Like.
they all died when I went and hugged them.
They're all dead.
Carrie.
I went around coughing.
I didn't know I was asymptomatic until they died.
So yeah, that was basically, but we just thought, my dad actually was the one who said it, because they went to my aunt's, and I thought that's like a bit of a mission out the other side of Croydon and stuff. And my dad was
wanted
like,
to get later.
They said they weren't going to be policing it, but he was like, I guarantee they'll be pulling people over on Christmas Day. So he just basically said, you don't want to end
someone
up.
Someone near me, apparently so, and it was, I don't know if it's a rumour, but they got fined £10,000 for having 30 people in their house.
Really?
Oh, that seems a bit much, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe, split between 30.
I know.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is actually.
I'd be ducking out of that party if once you tried splitting that bill.
Yeah.
Be like,
you're
climbing
fine. You're
off
loaded,
the balcony.
Julian. You'd have been loaded if you just kept the bounce back loans. You could have seen whoever you wanted.
Exactly.
But yeah, so you saw your parents, and then now what you're home now for?
Just home. I'm actually really bored. Like, I feel like a lot of people started like a project. I've got friends who have been like writing a book, another friend who's like writing a play, or like I've got mates who are like, I'm writing my next Edinburgh show. I'm like, what about?
Like, also, not just what about you? For what Edinburgh? I don't think Edinburgh's gonna happen in next year properly.
Absolutely not.
So
they're
I think it's bored.
I think
really, like, you know, right? Yeah, right.
Over a million people have been vaccinated now, so isn't that the big news we're all waiting for?
It is, but
it's like the vaccine's out. Yeah. Oh, you're going to lockdown.
There's so many people.
That's sort of changing their tune. There's a few like travel companies have even said that even a vaccine won't mean you. Like, they're saying you'd still have to quarantine when you go to countries, and like, it's all a bit up in the air. I don't think this vaccine's as much hot
it's just
shit.
Just a shambles. Just the damn shambles.
Basically, this
I'm
is life.
I'm just going to get all three vaccines.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this is what would happen if they just left it to like us to organise. Like, yes. It feels like it's just like some random people who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Just making up rules randomly. Well,
because we forget, I think we often forget that politicians are just normal fuckwits who've been elevated. Like, I know somebody's in a WhatsApp group of Matt Hancock. This is true.
Whoa. And, what's the group for?
It's for their local area.
Just big dick guy popping up every other message.
Basically, I know somebody who lives on his street, so it's like the street one for like bins and like sort of neighbourhood watch stuff.
You'd be constantly in there asking him questions, wouldn't you? Apparently it's a bit like Matt Hancock.
It's very like it's almost there's a zero politics chat like rule on it because you know he'd be getting some shit.
Imposed by Matt Hancock.
I reckon he's muted probably. It currently, but before it all kicked off, apparently he was just a normal, boring, annoying sort of bloke. Like just you know he was involved in all the sort of street admin and. You know, we forget that they're just, I think, even though I think he's a knob and like, I think he's so out of his depth and terrible at his job, we forget that the reason he's probably all of those things is because he is out of his depth. He's just a fucking idiot who's got job that is impossible.
You get the job and then you're thrown into like a global pandemic. It's definitely a fucking headache. I bet.
It's not what he expects.
He comes across as very annoying and fake, doesn't
all of, a lot of them do. And it's like Boris, it's like people, like, I know some people have sympathy for Boris. I don't have sympathy for him. He's wanted that job his whole life. A job that he's totally not cut out for, and that we've known that forever, and he's got the job now, and it's fucked, and it's like he must hate it on a daily basis.
And they can't go on telly or go on an interview and say we fucking don't know, we're fucked. Have to sound like they know what they're doing.
And that's how to go. It's hard.
I'm really stressed out. You don't understand. I've got no idea.
Like them more, but
I think it would humanize them.
People need to have faith that they know what they're doing. Yeah. They need leaders and they have to kind of pretend that they do, I guess.
Well, that's it. You need a managerial. That's why I think Boris is such a mess. He doesn't feel managerial at all, innit?
I can't listen to him. He takes so long to say a word.
Yeah.
To get a whole sentence out, you can watch it for 5 minutes. I've forgotten what the start of the sentence was.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel managerial at all.
Not at all. And I think people realize, even the people that voted for him and always been fans of him, because he just seems like a bit of a normal bloke. You know what I mean? You go for a pint with him, those sort of people that vote for a politician.
But now it's life or death. It's like, oh shit, we've got to
because it's fine. Yeah, you know, it's fine when he's in the sort of the arena of politics because it's it feels like a breath of fresh air. But you can't put that fucking guy in charge, man.
No.
You know, I mean, you need a psychopath essentially. You need that sort of Blair, Cameron types. You know, Thatcher. Like, even though I disagree with most of them on everything, but you know, they still looked like they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, I agree. But you need a stone cold. Iron bitch in charge just to get shit done.
Well, or just, you know, you just need someone who literally will go like, let them die. At some point.
They die. We need Dolph Lundgren out of Rocky IV, mate. If they die, they die. Go back to work.
It's just, I don't think that thing with the fact that we didn't, the Christmas lockdown, the fact that apparently the reason it was so last minute was Boris didn't want to tell people. It's like,
I feel that.
You can't procrastinate that, can you?
No.
Because it's uncomfortable.
Do you not feel that? Well, I feel that. You know, you've got to tell someone, like, some bad news.
Yeah, it's very human, but he's the Prime Minister, isn't he? It's like, you can't afford to be, like, have the same insecurity as everyone else.
Certain jobs.
You've got the best job in England.
Yeah, you're not allowed to put it off. Like, there's other jobs you could put it off. Most jobs you can put something off a couple of days.
Don't tell them about the redundancies yet.
Yeah,
exactly. But in his case, yeah.
I mean, I'd be worse than Boris. That's a fact.
I mean,
just in case anybody wasn't aware, they're doing a much better job than I would do.
What are you talking about? You do a great job. What would you do?
I know.
But starting from now,
I would monitor how many people are dying from lockdown, and put those figures out too. And then, I think the government get blamed for COVID deaths, but they don't get blamed for lockdown deaths.
Yes.
So I think that they're playing politics a little bit on that.
Yeah.
I'm running for office. I you don't ever call it that in England. Are you running for office?
No, no. Well, yeah, I think you no. can use it. It's a,
I want
it's
to
a...
be the president of England. I want to be the Fuhrer. but so... I think, yeah, so I think that they're protecting COVID deaths, but there's a lot of deaths from lockdown, isn't there? Alcohol, domestic violence goes up, child yeah. abuse goes up. And that's just the, in my house.
You know, you've got to factor in the prospective deaths caused by unemployment.
It's
know,
a hard one to quantify, I guess, though. Isn't
it's
it?
Hard to, but... you've got to project it. I think you've got to get some fucking economist expert who knows what they're doing just to give you a rough idea of like how many people are we gonna are gonna be fucked after this, because you've got to think about that when you're thinking of policy.
All the jobs, I mean, people died because of, I mean, in the financial crash in the 20s, people were jumping off of buildings. I mean, people do, the higher the unemployment rate goes, the suicide rate goes up as well.
Yeah.
Because they're pussies, not really. I mean, just be skint, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, just be skint, you fucking wimp.
I've been training my whole childhood for it. Don't worry about it. I got this.
I have to say, I feel like comedians are doing all right because we've all been so used to being completely skint at certain points in our lives. Yeah. But all my friends who are comics are like, I'm all right, I'm just not really buying anything.
And all my friends
who aren't comics are losing their fucking minds.
Because
they can't, you know, get their new kitchens and their nice holidays.
They can't go on their three holidays this year. And
Also, I do think, you know, actually this idea of everyone just being at home constantly, you know, I think a lot of people who work like normal jobs think this is their dream. So they think when they find out you're a comedian or something, it must be great, isn't it? Just do what you want around the house all day. Yeah. Like, actually, it can be, you know, it takes effort. It takes a lot of practice to be good at it and to not literally sit around.
There's no sick pay, is there? There's no holiday pay. No. Like, it's no, so it's, you know, it's.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose in most sole trader businesses or limited businesses is the same, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, that it's not, I think a lot of people who were furloughed or whatever, within 5 weeks, they'll just be bored out of their minds sitting at home.
If I was working in a job, though, and I got 80% of my wages to stay at home, that would be the biggest result
it would ever wish for. But if you're somebody whose what job is something like, you know, proper, like people who like have a job that is their purpose and their drive, putting them people just at home, then people who've thought, I'd love a break, guarantee within a couple of months, were like, I just want to go back to work and have some purpose in my day.
It'd make them appreciate going to work when it comes back round.
Not everyone, obviously. Some people hate their jobs and they would have loved it much more. But I do think some people need a purpose to their day. Not like comedians. We're good at being totally pointless.
I can do nothing.
Just laying horizontal for 17 hours flat.
Yeah.
We're good at pottering.
Yeah, definitely.
We're good at pottering. Like, just doing a thing, but the thing means nothing and it doesn't achieve any results.
Yeah. Like making everything in a line aligned on your desk.
Yeah.
I saw it at my essential oils the other day. Oh, it felt like it took the whole morning.
Yeah.
You have a week off after that.
Yeah. Oh, it was done.
But it's, you know, it's that thing of the amount of time we spend in hotel rooms and that. And like, you know, you sometimes you're in a city and the weather's shit. And you're in a hotel room basically for 3 days.
Yeah.
And you make the time pass. It's actually relatively easy. Some people would be like a prison sentence, wouldn't it? Whereas you're just like, I'll just mooch around the room a bit, have a bath.
19 years ago today, that was when I was in prison.
19 years ago today?
Yeah.
Were you in prison?
Yeah. Only for murder.
Julian's on Julian's on the sex offenders register. We're not told. We're meant to tell every guest in advance.
That's why we have to do it over Zoom now. So I sit a bit close to the guests.
We talked about it.
I actually think
before.
That makes you hotter. That makes you more attractive to me. That's how fucked up I am.
See, Peter.
It's like, do you do something dreadful? Oh, brilliant! Come on, sit with me.
you write to me in prison.
That whole concept.
Those women that like write to people in prison and then marry them straight away. Yeah. I find them absolutely fascinating. Totally. Like,
I think the women like a bit of danger, don't they? They like.
Well,
a bit
obviously,
of...
I was about to say like that whole like that old stereotype of women liking a bit of rough or a bit of, you know, that there's a line. If it's somebody who's in prison for multiple counts of murder, you're like.
I think that makes it more so though.
I don't know, because there's a difference between like always a bit dangerous because he like, I don't know.
Oh, he's going to murder my mum.
Or like always going to like kill my whole family. It seems too dangerous to be hot anymore.
I think, I think there's a lie.
Were you in prison, Julian? Were you seriously in prison?
It wasn't. I'm very gullible. It wasn't anything sexual.
It wasn't. That's where he picked up those bad habits.
That's where that's where the bad things happened.
It was for what was it for again? I've forgotten. I know I've heard all the prison stories.
I forget
stories.
Actually.
It was so was it, long ago. Was it being a thief?
No, it was being drunk.
Oh, it was being drunk. That was it.
Oh God, yeah.
Bribing the doctor at the station.
And it was only brief, wasn't it? It was what?
14 days.
14 days.
I mean, like a holiday. That's like a little break.
Exactly.
Just to get away.
It was lovely.
Is it true? Sorry to go back to sex offenders, but somebody told me the other day that
they get your internet history?
is it true if they move into an area they have to inform everyone in the area or in a certain radius that
the public can't find, because I've tried looking where my kids live, if there's any, you can't get hold of the register. I weren't like intent on looking, but I just was curious.
Yeah.
But the police...
find some old friends.
Some of the old prison crew.
I wanted to get someone in my bubble who would be worth it, you know what I mean?
Yeah! Get the band back together!
We're making a comeback. I actually worked on a prison once. We were doing roofing, and I was the labourer when I was like 18, and it was on Rochester Prison. Oh, yeah. And there was all these prisoners near where we're working, like coming up, chatting to me and that, and I said to the guy, and after I spoke to them, I got to know them a little bit. They were fucking weird prisoners. I thought they might have had mental health issues. And then afterwards, the guard came over to me and he said, don't talk to them. They're segregated from other prisoners because they're all the pedos and stuff.
Oh, God.
One of them was coming up to me. Because I only looked about 14, so we were like roofing in the sun. We had like our tops off
on you in prison.
So we had our tops off and stuff. But I had to go of the there was this like tractor thing that me and my mate Ricky like had a little go of on our lunch break, and I drove it through the greenhouse by accident. We just couldn't control it. But we had our tops off, and I got the body of a god, and they were like, but one of them was saying to me, where do you live? I'm going, I live in Greenwich. Yeah.
Oh my god.
That god is Buddha, one of them little fat Buddhas.
The one with the 18 arms. Yeah. But yeah, it was weird, man. Just chatting to these people. One of them was like in prison for like 38 years and stuff.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah.
So
that person was wrong then. So the person who told me that, you've got to inform people in the area that if you move in. Because I genuinely was like, how come I've never got that knock? Surely one's moved near me at some point.
Well, and said, what are you doing in our area?
You meant to tell us.
I've got your name here on the register. Is Cole there? Yes, miss.
Because obviously, I presume, I reckon estate agents must be able to see it. Because obviously you couldn't buy a house next to a school if you're...
Unless you've got an injunction on you. But I don't think estate agents would get to know. I think that it's
a school playground? Surely that can't be...
Well, then you could get in trouble if you've got an injunction or a restraining order against being like a mile from a school. It's on you. So you could get arrested and be put in... I reckon there's quite serious consequences to that.
Yeah, because it wouldn't just be in the hands of the estate agents to protect us all from sex offenders.
They're the last line of defence we've got.
Yeah.
yeah. They don't give a shit. They want their sale.
Yeah.
Only people protect us against pedos are just like guys in shiny suits.
We've got a
BMWs.
Nice flat here for you, Fred West. It's just really, overlooking this skull.
Really
hip-looking
Asian guys with like side partings.
There's some sexy schools, very local, and some swimming baths just to the left.
Yeah.
I always think about swimming baths, though, like pedos going there.
That's what I mean. Like, I thought...
You always think about that.
Always.
I mean, to be honest, if you've ever listened to an episode of this, I do think it's on our minds a lot, weirdly. I'd say pound for pound, we talk about paedophiles more than any other podcast. And there's probably podcasts devoted to it. But we're just, you know, we're trying to
keep the world clean,
make it a better place.
Awareness.
Oh, thanks, guys.
We're raising awareness. swimming. Yeah, you're allowed to just go. Yeah, because you don't get checked if you go swimming. I've never been asked, are you on a register?
Yeah.
Thank God.
the speedos you wear, I'd fucking ask you.
Yeah, they just assume when I walk in, to be honest. They don't need to ask.
Get out of the pool like sharks in it. I think if paedophiles go swimming, they should be made to wear shark fins.
Oh, my word. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
I'm fascinated by lore, I suppose. I'm fascinated by, like, what happens to, you know, because it is that thing, you know, you hear about these Scandinavian countries where it's all a bit hippie and, like, they welcome them back into the community after they've been rehabilitated. Like,
have a big party for them when they get released.
That feels like it would tie in more with my ethos of life. But also at the same time, that now I've become a dad, I'm like, I don't want any living next to my daughter. You know what I mean?
You look at my kid, I'll fucking kill you.
Oh, no, but I think that's quite typical. Like, I think that I would say I'm very, like, left-wing, like, hippy-dippy, got my fucking crystals and all of this.
Until it comes to immigrants.
Down at Dover with an air rifle shooting their lilos.
Yeah. Just picking them off.
I think with law and order, I've got like that. Like with the police and with criminals, I just feel like I've just become really right-wing. I'm just like, no, just lock them all away.
It's funny, then, isn't it? Like, what age are you?
I'm only 35.
I mean, that's about right, though. I think mid-30s is when it all starts to...
You start to just hate everyone.
Well, you start to ease into middle age. I think you almost lose patience with divs, you know what I mean? Mm. I think you just go, oh, you know what I mean? I've put my years into being nice and
you become a bit more
liberal.
Practical and stuff,
I think
guess.
You accept the world for what it is a bit more than
It's
prior.
A tricky one, the pedo one, isn't it? Because they are born like that.
A lot of them. Oh, totally.
But still, they're the biggest danger to the public
kids.
And to yeah to oh yeah it's kids isn't it?
Well, yeah, kids, not everyone.
It's kids.
They're not picking up.
So
old
it's
people.
Like, and they can't be cured.
Well, I mean, so I suppose there's the argument, isn't it? Like, if I agree. I think it is a mental health problem. So it needs to be. There needs to be more research into it as a, you know, where has it come from? What's caused it in that person? And what can you do to help rehabilitate them back into society so they're not a threat? That has to be a possibility. Otherwise, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
I think that's why it's such a quandary, isn't it? Because, like, you're liberal, you want your forgiveness and, you know, like, rehabilitation. But when it comes to that, they can't be, I don't think. So it's like, shit, should we just burn them all?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like you turn into like Hitler. Well, yeah. Should we just gas them all in a big chamber?
It's one or the other. We need to either help them out or just chuck them
I think the ones that are paedophiles that kill themselves or don't commit any crimes are the heroes we need to applaud.
Okay. I'm glad we got to the bottom of it.
Wow, good.
Oh, God.
That's not what I really think. I don't know what I think.
I don't know why you've. I'm sorry that you had to come on for this one, guys.
Yeah, it's really pedo-centric, like more than anything I've ever done.
It is. I feel
it's
like...
really made me think we talk about pedos way too much.
I don't know why.
You're so fascinated. I can just see by like the look on your faces.
It's such a quandary. It's such a dilemma in society,
think
isn't it?
Normally, it's been. I think over the time of doing this podcast, normally Julian loves a pedo joke. And I find them very funny. But I think as I've become a parent, I do genuinely think I've become more interested in sort of the shit they are out there. You know, I don't think who's worried about. Well, like, I'm not reading the Daily Mail thinking there's pedos everywhere. But, like, you know, suddenly you just think, oh, shit, hang on a second. I've now got a child that is vulnerable to the world when she goes to school, when she's a young lady, whatever, you know. I've now sort of suddenly just got to start, I suppose, being more aware of things in the world for her, not just myself.
There is that, yeah. I do worry about.
So I think that's it. I think I've joined Julian and just obsessing about it. All we think about.
Because there was a kid when my son was younger. There was a guy on the estate, and he said they're having a big water fight. And he said, "Do you mind if I squirt your son with a
masturbate
pistol.
While I do it.
Do you mind if I take my trousers off and wrestle your son? But he wanted to like play with them in the water. He was one of the kids' dads, and his kid is disabled, and like, and you kind of heart goes out to them, didn't you? And like, and it did occur to me, why would it, the fact that he asked me, like, I don't know, just sit, I just,
do you think
like,
that seems pervier?
I don't know, yeah, almost like, yeah, a little bit, like, what, I don't know, but there's nothing wrong with a guy probably, but it just occurred to me, that's when I Googled to look in the register and that, but right. You can't get hold of it.
I suppose that you could, that the danger of putting that online that anyone could look at would be vigilante justice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like polite. I went, yeah, of course you can, and went back in. I don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
Or confrontation.
Especially with the neighbour.
Exactly.
Because you were a teacher, so obviously, did you know none of the schools you were at, Carly, ever had any? Because like we had one teacher at school who was a wrong one, and
we did at one of the schools I worked at. Actually, after I'd left, it transpired that one of the teachers was found with like kiddie porn on his laptop. So,
oh god!
Yeah. God. So I was quite really gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was glad that I left that school when I did.
That's the main thing. That you didn't have to
just let them get on with it.
But this is what I like. I just like put all the paedophiles away from me, in the workplace. Just put them all away.
It is so easier, I don't have to deal with it.
No, it was really awful. But I imagine that would be, you know, the profession of choice if you, you know, you would gravitate
100%, like a swimming teacher.
He was head of
a PE teacher.
He was head of year 7. It was really gross.
Oh, what's year 7? 11 years old?
Yeah.
12.
Oh, yeah. 11-year-old boys. Sorry, I brought the tone down with my real story.
No, not at all. I think we very much
set
the
tone. Julian likes it in theory, but not when you hear the truth.
The reality. let's talk about something. Oh, something we were talking about before we hit record was do you do it as a show online or is it?
Yeah, I do it as like a live stream.
But do you release it as a podcast as well?
No, I want to, but I'm just really shit at tech, so... Right.
But basically, you do a show about tarot card reading, and we were discussing this before we hit record, because I've got a tarot set, but I don't believe in tarot card reading.
Do you ever use them?
No, well, no, when I bought them, I thought what I wanted
to play blackjack with them.
Yeah.
I'll just try and do them card ninja tricks before I'm at watermelons. But I bought them just out of, I was in a shop. There's a shop near me that sells candles and hippie shit, like incense.
Oh, I love those shops.
And I love them as well. It's a really cool one in Harlesden. So I always buy my sort of incense and that there. Mm. And basically I saw a deck of tarot cards that looked really nice. They looked really cool design. So I thought, I'll have them. It'll be a nice thing. So it's a good coffee table thing, isn't it? So yeah. I bought them and I then thought, I might as well just have a look. So I bought a book about how to do the readings. Mm. And I... just for a laugh, about 2 weeks after I'd started reading the book, I had a barbecue and we were all shit faced, me and all my mates. And my mates saw them and the book and went, oh, can you do tarot readings? I went, yeah, I can. I'd literally just thumb my way through the book. And I just went, yeah, I can do it. And I totally blagged it and just did one, just made it all up, based every card that we turned over. And I gave him this reading that really,
I bet it was true.
Out.
Yeah.
Well, he was properly like, I did it to two people at the party, actually. One of them was comedian Chris Martin. And he was really like, my other mate, I really nailed. But Chris was definitely like, oh, fucking hell, man. This is like, yeah, that's really what I'm like. And basically, I was just blagging it. It was pure.
Were you just going really general with stuff?
A bit, but I also, because I know them as well.
That's
so
the thing, when you know someone,
you guess
it's very...
their name.
But no, but it was like sort of, I just did it with pure pissed bravado and just blagging and, you know, just doing that sort of quite general observations about their personality and things that they're worried about and just things that I suspected. And
it's easy to do though.
Yeah,
the cards all about general life.
Well, that's what
stuff
I mean.
That everyone goes through
all the
time.
Why don't you do us now? Have you got?
I'll do you
hand?
Now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll
do
you now.
Do it.
Give me a second.
Let's do it.
Do Carl first.
I hope yours is really bad.
Grass Carl up, please.
Because
I always going to get the paedophile card over and over. The whole
if you start a sentence with Julian, your
there's
internet
paedophiles living in your area.
It says his here your internet history. I'm just going to log off.
So the way that I use the cards, I don't really use them like to predict the future. I use them more like a tool
predict
for introspection.
The past.
I don't really think they predict anything, but I think they give you something to think about.
Well, this is it. I know some people are well into them, but I learned from just having a set and reading the book, and it just felt like you're basically giving the person some thoughts of what you think of them. And it gives them a moment of going, oh, actually, maybe I do that. So it's more psycho.
My ex went to a, what are they called? Missed it, or they could predict, they
like
could talk to the dead. Psychic.
Oh, like a clairvoyant.
Yeah, about 20 years ago. And I swear to God, she nailed it.
Right.
Lucy came back to me. I had a friend that died of lighter fluid when I was 13, Andrew. And she came back and she said, Andrew came through. Do you know an Andrew? And I said, what? And she's like, she was going like this. Like, he died of lighter gas.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I swear to God, it blew my head off. And he said that he watches me.
People are amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was fucking... And she was only like £10. It was like ridiculously cheap.
I love the fact that's a part of the story.
No, but that, I mean, it's not like she was doing it for the money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. My sister goes to one regularly. And my sister really believes everything this woman says. And sister genuinely... believes more in this random, she's literally called Mary Smith from Bromley.
Yeah.
And my sister believes in what Mary Smith says more than like the news. I quite want to go to Mary Smith. Like,
how much,
we could go as a group.
£10, so
no, she's really expensive.
Oh, fuck that shit.
Fuck Mary Smith. I hate that bitch.
Don't say that. She'll know you said it.
Oh, she already knows.
She opens the door. So I'm a bitch, am I?
If she did that, I would be like, please take my money. Have it all.
Next time your friend sees her, your friend's going to call you when she comes out and goes, did you call Mary a bitch?
I don't know. I just don't like all of that because I feel like it's people preying on grieving people.
I did see a psychic at a festival once. Again, I was a bit pissed, and it was like this sort of gypsy psychic lady, and I just thought this is going to be whoppers, right? And I just did it for a laugh, and me and my wife went in first, and I went in second, and some of the stuff she said was actually I found very interesting. I was like, okay, there's some nice things here. And at one point, she just stopped and went to me, you're psychic, aren't you? To me. And I went, what? She goes, you're psychic, right? And I was like, no. And then she just asked me a few things. Do you ever have this? And I was like, she's just basically, this is blowing smoke up my ass to make me walk out and go, she said I'm psychic. And I genuinely was like, she says it to everyone. And I asked Hannah, I was like, did she say that to you as well? And she went, no. Why would she say that to me? And it's like, I was like, oh my God, maybe I am psychic. It was like such a little fucking thing that got in my head. That I was like, I reckon she does it to 1 in 5 people.
You're the next year I go and you're there in the tent, dressed in a fucking belly dancer's outfit.
Right.
I've got to blow my nose quickly.
You've got to blow your nose.
I can hear you though, because I've got headphones on.
Okay, Carly, you can do my tarot quickly then, I think. Let's do it.
My internet's a bit unstable.
That's all right.
Right, I'll tell you what, I'll shuffle a card and you just say when like the energy strikes you.
Go. When?
Okay, go. I'll just pull your cards off the top. All
just
right.
Pull the cards off the top.
Okay, so your first card here is the Five of Wands. I know it's a podcast, so I'll describe the card. Basically, it's those people
video
fighting
on
sticks.
patreon.com/wearetv.
Oh yeah, great. Definitely get this. Get the
it's
Patreon.
Nice artwork. I like the artwork on these cards.
Yeah, I quite like the medieval ones. This is the Rider-Waite deck. They were designed by this amazing woman called Pamela Coleman-Smith, who was like this like black lesbian spiritual kind of avant-garde type in the Victorian times. And she was never credited for the deck. It's called
for
the Rider-Waite deck. But now lots of... for being just a woman, I think. but yeah,
props,
she's really cool.
Props for that.
Right.
Are you more into the tarot now, I Julian, tarot. Now that you know that the lesbians?
Yeah, well into it now.
But yeah, this is a card about feeling conflicted, generally with it. I would say generally within your career sphere or like your projects, your passion projects.
Yes.
It's a card about feeling very conflicted.
Cole's going to burst out
within
crying.
Yourself about that.
I am thinking of dropping Julian from the podcast. And just...
I don't know how to tell him.
Hopefully one of your cards isn't your fired card.
Your fired card.
She does mine. It just says bye.
Just says one vegan idiot.
There are a couple of cards, but they're a bit like just about walking away from So I don't, but yeah, it's about conflict. It's about feeling conflicted within yourself.
Yes.
It could be like a literal conflict you're having with someone.
Yeah.
Like maybe who you are working on a project with. But I think generally for me, that's like a kind of inner conflict and just not feeling yourself.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was me being a psychic. Do you agree?
I suppose. At a minute, I think a lot of comedians, again, would be feeling like, because comedy's not really happening, you're thinking about other ideas. Should I do this? Should I do that? So that is, I'd say, an accurate description of my current feelings on my career.
Oh, sorry, Carl, to say it.
No, it's fine. Sorry, I didn't mean to say it in that tone. I meant more to just...
Doing the cat tarots now. Is that all right? I think we've had enough.
Yeah. I was actually there saying that in a sense of that was a correct assessment. So,
but I just pulled the next card, and you've got the Ace of Wands, which I always think looks like a man holding a massive penis.
It does look.
Oh yeah.
This one needs to have got a massive penis. Is that what it is? Sure.
This means that you really want to hold a massive penis.
Yeah, it means you really want to hold a massive penis.
Yeah, okay.
But no, this is about inspiration striking.
Yes.
So creative ideas. So yeah.
Cool.
If you're feeling conflicted, just wait for the universe to hand you a massive penis, is what I would say.
Right in your arm. Just gently lick it.
That's the advice of the card. See, Julian, you can read the tarot.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you should be.
Just cup the balls and just work the. Not really. Just work the hood.
The hood. Jesus.
I've never
Jesus
called
Christ.
It a hood.
I hate that.
All right.
I know, it's horrible.
I'm really upset about that.
Next card, or are we doing Julian?
No, I could do another card.
Let's do one more, and then we'll do.
I was trying to pass it on. Yeah. It's really resonating with him deep.
No, your next card is this card. It's a straight card.
Julian now.
This is one of my favourite cards. This is a major arcana card. These are like the sort of the biggies. Like if these jump up, these are more like messages from the universe. They're not like about mundane, everyday things. Like, oh, my career, and I feel conflicted. They're like,
can't the universe
ideas.
Just text me? Do you know what I mean? What
is it? This is a text from the universe. It's telling
you. What's the text saying?
So this text is it's the strength card, and it's about having inner strength throughout difficult times. It's about having strength in like a gentle and compassionate and kind way, rather than like a sort of so strong kind of way.
Yeah.
So you can see the lady on the card is opening the mouth of the lion there.
She is.
Yeah, she is. She's hot as fuck. And she's got this little sort of, it's got,
it
like a lemniscate, the infinity symbol.
Yeah, the infinity
above
symbol,
above her head, which shows sort of strength within your sort of spiritual sphere as well. Oh, someone's buzzing on my doorbell. Just ignore it.
What's happening?
It's that Mary from Bromley.
It's that?
Mary kicks your door in.
I get in her fucking PJs. A fucking bitch, what? Come down here, motherfucker.
Oh my God, I'm not answering it. I'm scared.
You can answer if you want. We can call.
No, I've left it too long now. It'll be Amazon.
It will be Amazon. It is.
Who else comes to my house?
To be honest, it's the first episode I think we've done in about 4 months where I haven't received a delivery.
Oh, really?
To ring it. Yeah, it's a real common practice at the minute. So there we go. So that's about strength, inner strength.
Inner strength.
In a compassionate way. And
I
myself
liked that one.
Yeah.
So that was just to clarify.
Cool.
So can we just re-go over this again?
I've always said I'm really into this tarot reading.
I could have just made all that up.
Julian's just going to get three deaths in a row.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You die three times.
Julian, say when the
next three gigs.
When?
Right, okay. Here we go. Okay, so you had a card that jumped out of the deck, so I always count that.
It's just 17 penises.
It's just, it's
the I'm having a Bukkake New Year's Eve.
The Eight of Wands.
Going to be on
eight
the cover penises. Of Razzle in
Fred. Eight of Wands.
The Eight of Wands. Eight of Wands for Julian. Other than meaning the eight penises are going to come very all near to me. Your being, yeah. This is a card about swift movement and swift change, especially within like, wands are always about like your passions and your projects and your creative sort of side. So for me,
you're saying wands. Like Harry Potter wand.
So wands. There's eight wands flying through the sky. So they're about, this is usually a card about swift change, lots of movement, stuff happening. So going from a period of sort of stagnation to a period of stuff happening. This card could also mean like
air travel. The phoenix rising from the ashes. Exactly.
So Julian likes it. Right, let's have a look. Next one. I'll do your three card reading as well. You've got the Seven of Cups. So as you can see on this card,
it's going to start hitting booze again.
He's going to relapse on Friday.
This is a card about making lots of, you've got lots of different options to choose from. And you're thinking like, what, it's kind of like the, what the fuck do I do next? And it's about not just choices of like sort of material and physical things, but like emotional choices.
And do I cry or do I wank?
Exactly, crying or wanking.
Do I do both?
It's the big decision we've got to face every day, all of us. We cry, do we wank? So yeah, it's a card about choice. It's also a card about, it can kind of mean that you think things are one way, but actually they're not. There's something different. There's something that's like...
Julian is wrong about a lot, actually.
Yeah.
He's wrong about a lot of stuff. I will say that as a friend.
So you think some things are one way, but they're not.
But you're an idiot. Because you're fucked in the head.
Julian is an idiot, just to clarify.
You are dense. You are rather dense. And the next card...
But it's like, it's a card that's got like... They all, one of the words associated with it is like illusion, like things are an illusion. Like,
but isn't everything an illusion anyway?
Well, if it is, then I've got that totally fucking spot on.
That's one of the examples of Julian being wrong.
But we're living in a matrix.
The last card is the moon, which also has an element of things are not as they seem. So the moon is another major arcana card. So this is like a shout out from the universe to you. It's a card about... fear, there's some like fear and anxiety there, like an underlying low level kind of like anxious feeling.
Oh God. You're stripping the layers of the onion back. I feel so, sorry. I feel so vulnerable.
I bet you do that. but the card is saying that when the moon appears in tarot readings, and also there's like water appearing in this card. It's that,
and there's a lobster there, is it? No, a scorpion.
Yeah, this is a lobster. He's coming out of this little lake, and there's a wolf and a dog who are howling at the moon because they're feeling really stressed and anxious. And I always think of the lobster as that kind of like horrible, you know, you're feeling really shit and like anxious and like crap, and that you've got that kind of creeping feeling that something's like, something negative is creeping up on you, or something bad's going to happen. That's what that I always think of that lobster as. Just that sort
What's
of thing
the solution
creeping
to
up
that?
Behind you.
What can I do?
The solution
help
is
me, please. You're just going to float out there, and that's it.
And that's the right. End
Thanks
of your
Thanks for tuning
reading.
In, everyone. We'll see you next week.
So you got the fear something bad is going to happen. Anyway, over to you with the weather.
It's just basically to trust your gut feelings and your intuition, and to try and develop more psychic.
They say that, don't they? But where's my gut feel? Like, what?
The one before was like, you're wrong about a lot of stuff.
You're
and the next
about
one's like,
a lot
trust
of...
your gut.
Trust your gut, babe. Yeah.
You're fucked, mate.
You're always wrong about everything. You're completely delusional. But trust that and go with it. You may as well. You've got nothing else to do. Just stop bugging everyone else.
I would say for these three cards together, though, it's about trying to have a swift change away from this kind of like negative and anxious thing, and to actually like pick something. Like there's too many choices. You feel like, you know, there's too many choices. There's things getting like in the way of you seeing what your options are clearly. And if you trust your like your inner unconscious self, rather than your logical brain, you'll find things a lot easier and you'll feel less of a sense of dread inside.
Great,
keeping it chipper and perky. Excellent.
That was fun, actually.
That was very fun.
I'm going to book a therapy session.
So, and Pete, so you do this show online, what, weekly? Oh, hang on. I think Carly's internet's just gone funny right at the end.
So my internet's froze, I think.
Oh, that's it. Fine. That's it. You're back.
That's are you back?
I'm back. I'm back in the room. I'm back in the room, I hope.
So you do that. What, you do the show every week?
Every week, I basically just read tarot cards for comedians, and we just fuck around and joke about it.
And I'm doing January
10th.
You're going to be on Sunday at 7 p.m.
Let's see. By then, you've put the changes in place that you've been recommended today.
Well, usually we ask our guests if they've had their tarot read before, but it turns out loads of comedians have had it read by me. That's one of the things everyone's like, yeah, I have, by you. It didn't come true. And you're like, oh,
you and I didn't ask for it.
You told me to give up comedy.
You told me that you want to replace me at every gig in my diary.
When I was first learning, I was taking my cards to like green rooms and like being a right fucking creep about it. I mean, like, hi, could I read your tarot cards? And because comedians are such narcissists and they love hearing about themselves. Yeah. They're like, yeah.
What, you mean, is this a subject about me?
Exactly.
My favourite subject.
Exactly. So I'd like ripe guinea pigs fresh for the picking when I first was learning. So yeah, it's a good fun show. It's just like fucking around. And I do it with a lovely comedian called Sarah Isles.
I know Sarah.
She's fabulous. And she's very into like witchy stuff. So she does like lots. She knows about how to do like spells and things. So so she's very knowledgeable about.
Well, my wife is a bit into witchy stuff, and again, it's that thing. It's easy to just think, "Oh, this is all bollocks," but then now and again, just like something will happen, you're like, "Oh, okay, there's weird." I believe in hippie stuff like energies and all that, but I think when it gets to the point of doing a spell, I'm like, I'm out. That's enough for me. Thank you.
I have to say though,
but
sometimes
she'll do stuff that I'm like, oh,
all right. I'm sure she wouldn't mind me telling the story. So I didn't believe in spells. I thought it was all a load of shit. And then Sarah cast a spell during the first lockdown. And her spell was she just wanted every man to want to fuck her. Like, she just wanted everyone to want to fuck her. She wanted everyone to fancy her. She cast this spell. And then I went and was having a drink with her on her front porch.
That's a noble spell, isn't it?
You have the gift. Use it wisely. I just want to get fucked.
Guys,
all the time,
can I tell you, I shit you not.
Sarah, I know we Sarah. She's an absolute sex sort. Is she that smoke show?
Anyway,
she's got something about her, man.
I was sitting having a drink with her, and she lives on a road where lots of people go past. So I'm sitting on her front porch having a drink in the first sort of towards the end of the first lockdown. And every single man that drove past was fucking staring at her.
Really?
Men in cars were like sort of turning their heads and staring at her. She just looked like shit because it was the first lockdown. So we were just basically outside in our pajamas.
Yeah.
Like, look, because no one looked nice then. It was just when we were all fully embracing our feral nature. And like blokes like with their kids were like perving her up and down.
Pushing
like,
their kids out of the way.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. And so I was like, what's going on? She's like, oh my God, I got really drunk and I cast this spell that I wanted everyone to want to fuck me. But like now that I'm sober, I didn't mean it. And it was actually coming true. People were like, bloody everyone hell. Was perving on it. She
welcome
ended
to
up,
my world.
She was juggling
Sarah,
like
you know
six
I mean?
Blokes. Like six blokes were all trying to ask her out at the same time. And it was... And after that, I thought, no, I think it's real. So right. I've actually cast
the same
myself.
Spell.
No, I can't. I can't be bothered. I have to say, I barely want anyone to fuck me when I'm in the mood, let alone to try to encourage half of my local area to, you know, flap their dick at me. No, thank you. I hate that.
There we go. Maybe we should get her on to do some spells live
on
the podcast.
Be great. We do that sometimes at full moon. We do a live show where we do a spell. And it's really good fun.
Oh, really?
So she's going to be there Jan 10th, is she?
She's
going to
be there
doing spells.
Jan 10th. Yeah, and you're gonna want some.
Good.
Actually, Julian, I've got something to confess to you. I found you on a dating app the other week. I found you, and I didn't swipe right because I thought it would be unprofessional. but I found you.
Excellent.
Am I still on it? Yeah, I didn't realise.
Oh, well, anyway.
I've never been on dating apps for years, like since I split up. And then in lockdown, towards the end, I don't know, like a lot of my mates are on them, but it just looked too addictive and stuff. But I just had a little look and I was on it for about 3 weeks, quite
obsessively.
You looked
really, your profile was really good. But then I was thinking maybe because I already know you and I know you're a good guy. I know you're a good guy. Like, so I was like,
I've seen a couple of comics on it actually. I saw my ex on there. It was awkward.
Oh, I hate that.
My sister's mate added me on there, like swiped on me, and I didn't want to. Wow. I didn't want to kind of X her off, so I just left her there.
Yeah, it's just
awkward when you know them, isn't it? But how come you didn't swipe right again, Carly?
Well, because I just thought it would seem unprofessional, like I was hitting on you, but I wasn't. I just wanted to say, like, I see you. You're looking good in your profile, but
so
I didn't
wait till we're on a podcast.
UK British public.
I didn't realise I'm still on there, to be honest.
Well, you are, and you're looking fine. So,
there we go.
So, I just wanted to let you know that you're looking good.
I muted it and I've kind of hid the app. I was on it for about 3 weeks, like swiping all over the place. I mean, they're good things, aren't they, for people? Like before, if you wanted to meet someone, you'd have to go down to the local bar or something.
Oh, awful!
But now you just got. I mean, there's almost too many on there.
Yeah, there's too much choice.
Yeah.
Also, I found that it's made me quite a hideous person because since using dating apps, I've realised that the men are getting younger and younger and younger. Right. The more I swipe, it's like my brain can't.
Is that because you're changing the age in the search?
Not these ones.
I've never been on one. Has it not done what Netflix has done, which has sort of ruined the ability to choose, like to. You know, because on Netflix now, you just swipe up and down until you find, and half the time you actually don't end up finding anything. And I think it's just ruined that thing of like just picking. Right, this is something I'm into. I'll just give this a go for a bit.
Oh, for sure. Because there's always someone better and younger around the corner.
Yeah, that's why I've luckily
that's
never.
That's where
even.
I wait. That's where I sit.
Doing your spells.
It was funny on our Patreon. We did a live Patreon the other day. there's quite a few people on it. So it's like a live show, but it's like a, what do we call it? A get together.
A get together, yeah.
And it's just for patrons. So we're on Zoom. There's loads of people there. And one of them was somebody who, she's a lovely human being.
She's lovely, but she basically, she said.
She came out and we're chatting away. She was like, so who else here? Came via Hinge.
Via Hinge?
She found the podcast after getting into a Hinge discussion with Julian. And
that's very clever.
He's basically out just like a charity mugger, just on a Hinge, getting people to sign up to our Patreon. He's not.
I think that's genius. Whenever I've told any guys online that I do a tarot reading live stream, they all just unmatch me like I'm some kind of fucking psycho witch.
I don't want any dramas.
Yeah. No. Oh, and she tells jokes and has opinions. No, I don't think so. No, too
get
much.
Rid.
Too much. Get rid. Too
Can
much.
You fix a sandwich? No. I know, it's true, isn't it? I mean, somebody I know is on, like a lady I know is on Hinge, and she sometimes sends me screenshots of the guys and
is this
you as a joke? But they seem horrible, some guys on there, man.
Oh, definitely. Also, the problem that I don't like about Hinge is Hinge like recommends you someone who it thinks would be compatible to you, but it always recommends me. I don't mean this in a horrible way. It recommends me like very facially, very ugly people. It's like, Carly, we thought you might like Jim. And Jim's there like,
this guy
like,
from,
why do you think I'd
this
like
guy
this?
From the Goonies.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys.
Yeah. I just think, like, what's it come to if the fucking Hinge algorithm thinks I would like that? Like, I don't, like, why is
I think
it's,
I don't think there's anything in that. I think it's just computer algorithm, is it? I don't think
The phrase facially ugly is so brutal.
But you might have had a beautiful
soul, is what I mean.
Do you get
many dick pics sent and stuff? Because people I know get a lot of dick pics because I
send
them.
Not as many.
The people in your contacts list get a lot of dick pics.
The whole of Julian's Hinge.
Well, I would never dream, like some men
people
send
who sign up to
pic-
our Patreon get a lot of Julian's dick pics.
But they send like a dick pic in the message. It's like,
that's unreal. That is so
Maybe they think they've got a great dick and that's what a woman what would
people
like.
Need to realize no one's got a great dick.
So everyone's dick is really
speak
ugly
for yourself.
Julian
no one's dick is great.
We don't like them.
Sorry.
we just like when we
there are means to
your,
an end.
Yeah, when we put your dick in your mouth, what we're saying is like I'll tolerate this because I think yeah. you're a really nice guy.
Some people like doing that though, don't they?
Some people, yeah, some people, I'm sure some people do, but they don't. They're not doing it because they like the
no, the
thing
itself. No,
the dick
exactly.
itself is part of the process, but
I suppose it's part of
the dick's
person,
like incidental in exactly. the blowjob almost. It's so like you're blowing their personality through
it's,
their
yeah,
dick.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
also the least photogenic part of anybody. Like it's disgusting.
It's so sad, and they always look really like gross and smelly. Like the men themselves,
yeah.
Because to pose with your dick out, you're always like lying on like some horrible like soiled bed with like your like one that I
soiled
found,
bed.
Yeah, I just like just soiled with your dick. It's so
sheets.
Gross. Yeah, it's so grim. And one thing that I haven't actually received a couple of is like erection pictures, but like through the boxer shorts.
Oh,
it's weird. It's almost sadder. It's a bit, it reminds me a bit of like, you know, you've been in a relationship for a long time and your boyfriend comes out, you can tell he's got an erection, you don't really want to today. That's what that reminds me of.
It's sort
I was
of
chatting to somebody on Snapchat last year, like after a gig, and they were like, oh, I liked your set, blah blah. And that was the story now. But then they said, I'm chatting to them a bit, then they sent me a picture and it was exactly that. I thought it was a guy.
Yeah.
And it was just this surprise yeah. photo of this hard on with boxers on. And it was this big hairy
legs
abs.
Coming out of the bottom.
Oh,
it was like,
part of it is, I think in those
really
guys'
messy
heads,
house as
they
well,
think that's
well.
Almost like a sort of like, yeah, I want, you know, it's like a sort of sexy reveal. Like you can see the yeah. outline of it. And it's like,
I think guys do it. It's almost like flashes. They get something out of someone seeing it more than they think you're going to like
for
it.
Sure.
And the more disgusted you are, treat. I think they might get something out of that. Like it's like a shame. 100%. They like the shame of it, I guess. Yeah.
Can't you just, yeah.
I love that. I guess. I don't know. I know.
You sound like I like that the way I said, I guess. Yeah, a mate of mine told me.
We should so probably funny. Wrap it up with it's been very.
We've covered
fun.
All the main topics.
We have covered
and
the main
picks.
Yeah.
The big subjects, mate.
Yeah.
Snuck in a tarot reading in the middle.
Yeah, just to make it seem legit.
Yeah.
That tarot reading is definitely going to play on my mind, and I'm going to meditate on that.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
And then not do anything about
it. Like, that's what I do.
Dick pics. I'll change
anyway.
My sheets this time, though. Sorry about that. Sorry about the mess.
the soiling.
Soiling everywhere. Ugh.
Where can people find you online?
They can find me on Bumble.
They can find Julian on all dating
websites. On all dating websites still. genuinely though, if you do fancy me, get in touch with Carl or Julian, looking and not facially ugly.
We'll
but,
pimp you out.
Yeah, thanks guys. That's true friendship. No, I'm just on the usual things. I'm on Instagram, at Carly Smallman, and on Twitter at Carly. I'm just Carly Smallman, but you can find, I think I'm the only one really. Yeah. So I'm sure you'll find me.
And people can watch the show.
Yeah, 7 o'clock Sunday nights, and it streams on my Facebook and my YouTube and my Twitch.
There we go.
Nice.
Julian, any other business before we wrap up? It's just Patreon, isn't it? People can sign up. Yeah. They can join our little Zoom get-togethers.
Yeah, we're going to try and be doing one a month.
Yep. They get all the videos of the podcast. They get extra
our
episodes.
Personal podcast, which is just me and you. A catch-up, we call it.
Yeah. Just a little weekly sort of, sometimes twice a week.
Two or three times a week. I'd say average twice a week.
Yeah. That's it. That is the end of the podcast. Thanks to Carly Smallman for joining us.
Thank you, Carly. It's been
thank you very
delightful.
Much. This has been a real joy in the depths of lockdown to talk to you two lovely people. So
thanks.
You so much.
And you too.
Thanks for coming.
And hopefully we'll see you soon at a real life.
Thanks
gig.
For grassing me up.
Sorry, Julian.
I love it.
I must still be paying that then. Is it? I must still be
no,
paying.
No, it's free.
For that.
It's free. Do you know what? I was still on one of the dating apps for about 2 years, like into a relationship before my boyfriend's friend found me on there. And we got a big argument. I realized I just met someone and left it.
Oldest
book,
yeah. Of course, mate. Yeah. I must have just left it on there.
I just left it on for a couple
of
years.
But you were last seen 5 minutes ago on the app when you went to the bathroom.
Anyway, where's the lesson? The
lesson I'm have a little butch podcast on it, actually.
It's checked. You should. It's still signed up
have
to.
Have a little look around, mate.
Pass the time, babe. Why not?
Right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you, Carly.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
We're actually changing the podcast.
I think you're doing it. How you doing? I think you're dying of AIDS in an alleyway.